Well, a good morning on Sunday, August the 2nd, 2020, to all of you, friends, family, near and far. A warm welcome, and good to talk to you again today. Have a couple of announcements that I would like to pass on. First of all, we are going to be resuming some of our midweek activities here in the church, and we're going to start on Thursday, August the 13th at 6 o'clock. We're going to have a church dinner out in the north parking lot. We invite you to bring your lawn chairs and your own food, takeout, or food from home. And so we'll gather together and have a chance to meet each other. If it's a rain night, we will meet on the Friday, August the 14th at 6 o'clock. And we'll discuss further about activities, including our Thursday night group, which will start the week after. And if we can meet outside, we will do that. And we're going to start at 7 o'clock, and that will be on the 20th of August. So don't confuse it. The dinner is on the 13th, and we're going to start our midweek study night on the 20th. And so just remember to keep a lawn chair in your car, and we'll hopefully have some lovely evenings to chat together. I want to also now give you the birthdays for this week. We want to wish Amelia Siebers a very happy birthday for August the 4th. And to Serena Grant and Lisa Smith, they both have their birthdays on August the 5th. And Serena, I believe you're on the 4th, but we want to wish you both a very happy birthday as well. And now I have two more jokes to share with you, and if you don't like these jokes, please send me in better ones. Here's the first one. The rubber beach sandal was invented in France by noted designer Felipe Filippi. Okay. Someone told me that they could never understand the concept of cloning, to which I replied, "That makes two of us." Okay, send me in better ones, but again, a little humor as we start this day today. For our notes of praise and prayer, just want to let you know, Crystal said that she has had a good week and we're thrilled for her. Colin, as you know, was in a lot of back pain. He is doing much better. He's able to walk, and the medication that the doctors put him on has made a big difference, and he also wants to thank everyone for their prayers for him. Marg's doctor has also put her on a new puffer medication, and it is working much better. She's able to sleep more effectively, and she's swallowing, and her issue with her heartbeat and things are on much better control. So, again, they're both thanking all of us for praying for them. And, again, we thank the medical folks that continue to help all of us in so many ways. For prayer, we have nothing specific has come in, so let's take time now and just pray together. Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity to share. And Lord, as all of us meet together and will worship you, that we want to thank you first for all the goodness of your plans and purposes for our lives. Our lives have been so blessed this past week, as Marg and Colin and Crystal emphasized. Lord, you have worked in wondrous ways, and we are so, so grateful. And Father, for the ongoing needs of each of our lives, and they're varied, as many as we are varied. Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves. You know our uprising and our down-sitting. You know our thoughts from afar. And so, Lord, we pray that your peace will be upon each one of us, that your presence will be within us. And Lord, we'll have very clear direction in the midst of all that is going on around us. And so we just commit ourselves to you and to this time, and we bless you for being our God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And we have Don and Donna here this morning, and they're going to play for us a couple of very special selections, so I'll turn it over to them.
Thank you.
special thank you to Don and Donna for doing such a lovely job for us. I want to speak to you on a topic that for many of you, in a sense, would be a no-brainer. God in your life. And I'm reminded of the song that we learned way back when, back in the early 70s. I don't know if you remember it. It was taken from the book of Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, is mighty. And Zephaniah's words, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. Do you get that opening line? The Lord your God, or thy God, is in your midst. And you know what? If you look through the Old Testament, many of the prophets wrote about the closeness of God to people. Isaiah, in chapter 52 and verse 12, says, "For you shall not go out in haste, and you shall not go in flight, for the Lord will," what? "Go before you." Not only is in your midst, "and the God of Israel will be," what? "Your rear guard." David in Psalm 16 says, "I have set the Lord always beside me because he's at my right hand. I shall not be shaken." And Moses, when he was writing in Deuteronomy, he said, "The Lord who goes before you, he will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." What do you hear in all those scriptures? God is all around. God is with people. But here's the fascinating reality. If you and I, or anyone who is a Christ follower, then that same God that is talked about in the Old Testament is what? In us. He's literally in us. And he's not just beside us. He's not just in front of us. He's not just behind us. He's not all around us. He's within us. And I don't know if that impinges on you or you've even thought about that, lady, but that is absolutely phenomenal. The God of the universe is in us. And as we look at Scripture in the New Testament, of course, Revelation 3 and verse 20 is a very familiar Scripture where John is talking about Jesus. "And behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." So that personal relationship, literally, God with us in such a powerful way. Paul says in Colossians 1, and it's a mystery, and he tries to explain it to the church at Colossae. And so in that first chapter, he said, "I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that's been hidden for ages and for generations, but now is being revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery." What's the mystery? "Christ in you, the hope of glory." The mystery is God can be in you. And I tell you, sometimes that's mind-blowing. How can God be in heaven? How can Jesus be sitting at his right hand? How can God be everywhere in the universe and in us? Now that's one of those concepts that's infinite. And you and I'll never fully understand it. But the reality is, as Paul says again to the Galatian church, "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who" what? "Who lives" where? "In me." In me. "And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." You know, sometimes we think of Jesus on the cross and he died and that was a marvelous thing. He took our sins away. But the bigger reality is we have the ongoing presence of God in our life all the time. And Paul said it to the church in Corinth. He said the following, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells" where? "In you." And the Greek says, "permanently." He dwells in us permanently. He goes on in 1 Corinthians in the 6th chapter to say, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who's within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your what? In your body." I mean, this is an awesome thought. I mean, this is, as I was thinking about this week, I thought to myself, my goodness, we take for granted, first of all, God and who he is and what he is and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and our Heavenly Father. But the reality is he's in us like all the time. He's permanently in our lives. So my question to you this morning is, what is this doing for your thinking? I think Paul sums it up. When we realize that God is in us, then who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? And Paul goes on to say, I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, because he's in us. No external reality can change what has happened internally. He's in us. And since God is in us, then absolutely nothing can separate us from his love. Nothing. Life nor death, nor anything else in all this world. We are never alone anymore. Wow. And yet, how many times as Christians or Christ followers we think to ourselves, oh, I'm all alone, nobody's with me. Who's in you? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So again, what does that do for your thinking and my thinking? Now, here's another thing I want you to think about as we just ponder this great reality today. And that is that God and his power dwelling in us become especially evident and effective when we are what? When we are weak. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, it doesn't matter. The power of God actually becomes even greater because we're struggling. And Paul says it in Romans 8. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we even do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Think about that aspect. How many times have you and I tried to pray for people, and we don't know how to pray? We don't think we have enough information. We our faith may be at a low ebb. Who's actually speaking and empowering us in the midst of our prayers is the Holy Spirit. Because he, in verse 27, who searches hearts, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Do you see that enmeshment? That linking between the God of the universe and you and I, his saints. And we know that for those who love God, then all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. Why? Because God's working in us. Now, does that mean we're perfect? No. Does that mean we don't make mistakes? No. But what it means is, despite all the shortcomings and all the things that we trip over and all the times we feel a lack of confidence and all the times we feel a pain of hurt or betrayal, in all the midst of that, who's in us? The Holy Spirit, and he's working in the midst of our weakness. Paul says it in his second letter to the church at Corinth. My grace is sufficient for you. Remember, he had the thorn in the flesh. My power, says God, is made perfect where? In weakness, in your weakness, Paul. And so Paul says, therefore, what? I am going to boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content. Now listen and read this carefully if you're looking at the screen behind me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with what? Weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. I don't know about you, but that's not my idea of fun. But Paul says, for I when I am weak, what? Then I am strong. In the midst of all of this, Christ's power is being exhibited. Can you get your head around this morning? I don't think any of us ever will until really we stand before God in heaven and we see him face to face. But this is such an incredible reality. And the more I've thought about it this week and the more you ponder it this week, it's going to have a profound effect, I believe, on all of our thinking. And I'm starting to understand now how Paul is able then to say to the church at Philippi, I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me because he's in me. And this is not about my effort and my power or my faith or my being trying to work something out. It's the fact that everything that's working out is because Christ is empowering me and helping me. Since he's in me. Since he's in you. So I think it's time to do some different self-talk. I don't know about you, but I have found these weeks, they blow in and out like storms. One week or one day you feel terrific, another day you feel discouraged, and our self-talk can go up and our self-talk can go down. Propose your self-talk to be, I'm going to work on this myself this week. Our self-talk is, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And so I think what we're all going to do together this week is we're going to beam. I think in a sense we're going to glow. We're going to radiate in a different way. Now, I'm not saying you won't still perspire. But in all of the life events, we will have a better understanding of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that great triune God who dwells where? In us. Who's working where? In us. And all around us. And behind us. And before us. And with us. Family, I think it's time to get excited about our faith. And maybe for you, this will be a jump-starting moment as you head through the beginning of the month of August. It's really profoundly affected me. And as I conclude today, and I haven't said a lot, but I want you to think about what I've said. I think Jude sums up what we're trying to say so clearly. And he says this, and now to him who is able to what? Keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless, blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. How often? Every day. All the time. To our only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty, dominion and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. And before I pray this morning, I want to sing for you a song that has been a stalwart song for me over the years. It's entitled, Reach Out to Jesus. He's reaching out to you. for the opportunity that we've had to be together over this YouTube and over this Proclaim series. And Father, I pray your blessing on each and every person who hears the sound of my voice this day. I want to thank you for blessing Don and Donna, for Richard doing our sound, and of course Jane doing our signing for our deaf folk. And Lord, you're working in so many ways. Go before us this week in powerful ways. But most of all, may we have an incredible sense that you truly live in us, and that you're working through us, and that your power is being displayed, especially when we're feeling overwhelmed and weak. And so we reach out to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we ask, O God, that you would guide us in profound ways as we seek to serve you in this upcoming week. And we thank you now in your powerful name. Amen and amen.